I would like to turn over the podium to the head brother of St. Vladimir's St. John Brotherhood. And after John speaks a little bit, then Jana, who was our head sister for many years of our sisterhood, will speak, and they'll be talking about the ministry of the brotherhood and the sisterhood. So let's welcome them now.
Welcome.
Thank you, Father Gregory, deacons and subdeacons, readers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for letting me speak to you today about the brotherhood. Starting at 1:16, Jana and I will go for 20 minutes, so at 1:36, we'll be done. Okay, the Brotherhood is indeed named after St. John of Shanghai and San Francisco. He is our heavenly protector, and he's a very interesting saint. He's important in the church abroad, of course, because he spent most of his life abroad. He was in China, he was in either Serbia or Bulgaria. Father will supply that exact information if you need it. And he was on like Guam or some island with some emigres right after World War II, and he shepherded them, and he brought them to San Francisco, and that's kind of the core of the Russian Orthodox community out there. And in fact, they named a cathedral after him. Father, no.
He's buried. His relics are in the cathedral there, but it's the cathedral that he built.
Yeah.
Joy of all whose sorrow.
Okay, and. There should be some a church or two named after St. John.
There are. Yeah.
There are. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the Brotherhood exists to serve the parish. What do we do? We do work days, which if anything needs to be done with a shovel or a wheelbarrow or wiring or painting, as long as it's not too advanced that you need a specialized contractor, the Brotherhood does it, and indeed. In our number, there are quite a few of us, or at least enough to be able to do a lot of these highly skilled things. Glory to God for that. The Brotherhood also cooks and prepares a meal or two during the year, specifically on the Holy Myrrh Bearers, which is two Sundays after Pascha. Yep, and also when the ladies have their meeting, we also cook, and Kurt brings his chili, and Carl makes his beer can chickens, and it's all really good. Everybody chips in, so that's great. What else do we do? We do Sunday duties, and that is two brothers for every Sunday are scheduled, and they read the schedule, and they know when they're on duty, and if they don't, they get a reminder from yours truly to come in. And duties work like this. You come in about 9:15, no later, and you fill up the lampadas, and you trim the wicks, and you look for stuff outside that is not in order, and you take care of that, and you clean the glass on the icons with the Windex, and you check in. Before you do any of that, of course, you check in with Father, and you get a blessing. And you see if the clergy need any help, and you're just available, and you help the greeters, now that we have greeters. So, yeah, basically you're on duty, and then you supervise the setup and the breakdown after. And so in that way, all of the brothers get to chip in about, I don't know, what's the rotation is? Three or four times a year, probably, your schedule. So that's, I guess, what the Brotherhood does. How does one become head brother, you might be wondering? And the way it works is this. You go to your first Brotherhood meeting. It's an annual meeting because you can't get the brothers together more than once a year. And it's at Constantine's house, or it was then. They talk about stuff. For instance, whether we're going to have dues or no dues, and how much, and what to do about that kind of thing. And then they have elections because Dima, our beloved, he's a subdeacon, right? Dima Kashinko was stepping down. He was my predecessor. And I think he knew even then that he was going on to bigger and better things, and so he had to step down and did not appoint a successor. Not that that's really the way things work, because we're democratic. And so how it works is Dima starts asking around, and who can be the head brother, and everybody has a ready excuse for why that's not possible for them to take on that responsibility, and yours truly could not think of something fast enough, and so I got to be head brother, and I think it's what you call Boji Promiso. Nathan, help me out here. But how do we?
Providential.
Providential, yes. But there's the whole Boji part, the God, right? That you don't always get with the English.
Divine providence.
So, yeah. So it's my
divine providence.
Divine. Right? That's what I do. For the parish and for God, and it's a really a blessing that I get to do it. And let's see, what else is that about? Do I have any challenges? Well, the only thing that the Brotherhood really disagrees on, and this is a perennial thing, is whether to have dues or not have dues, or that same meeting when Dima stepped down. There was talk about a kind of a work bank that you put in a certain number of hours, and it would prorate what you the dues are. My treasurer here at Vadim, whether they $55 supposedly they were, and now they're voluntary. But for a while,
suggested.
Yeah, now they're suggested. And it's not like a big deal that we don't have. We're not the sisterhood. We don't make a lot of money. We just need to have some little money in the bank to pay for nails and paint and talk and that kind of thing for our projects. So are we going to have dues or the whole work bank. People thought it was a great idea, but I didn't. I thought it was an okay idea. I didn't even know that I was going to be head brother soon. But I pointed out that it's going to be a real challenge to keep track of those. And one of my conditions for accepting the honor of being head brother was that I would not keep track of everybody's hours. Somebody wanted to do that, fine. You don't, that's okay too. So after a couple years, it became moot, and now we have suggested donations. I don't know, Vadim, how are our finances? No embezzlement, no losses, or
1568 that we don't know how to spend.
In the black. Oh, good. See how well things are going under. Vadim is our treasurer. Second officer of the Brotherhood, and he does a terrific job. But any questions?
Now Nathan knows. Now Nathan knows that we have that money.
Yeah. Is he here? No.
No.
He didn't hear that.
Oh, he's not. So cut that out of the video too.
Yeah. We'll edit that.
Really? Any questions about anything about the Brotherhood? What the Brotherhood does? What do I do? I just kind of try to keep things going, try to give reminders. One of my big accomplishments is to add to and update and keep the list of the spreadsheet of the list of brothers and their emails and their phone calls in case they need a call or and just hear and. What Father needs, or Constantine, for the grounds and the church, and try to do that. Try to get the brothers together, make sure that the duties are happening, more or less.
Is it important for people to fulfill their duties, John, or can they just not show up?
Not that would ever happen. Father. Not that that happens, but right. People, it's a good idea to fulfill the duties and read the email and know, there's a schedule. With everybody's name and date and Sunday and all that, and you can read that. And if a brother, for instance, can't for whatever reason serve his parish on that day. And it's also sent out with the that self-same spreadsheet of brothers, and he can look up somebody to call and arrange a substitute and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Excellent. Any questions for John? John, you must be doing an outstanding job.
Oh, yes. Question.
I have a question about how, maybe it's not directed to you, but I'm just curious about how the structure of all the functioning units is arranged within our parish. So I know that you also are responsible for the library. So is taking care of the library.
I just take off my brotherhood hat and I put on my librarian hat. That's all.
Yeah, but see, my question is not about your personal kind of hat or rack, but about how these things are. Is it like very strict pyramidal design?
Strogi vertical.
Strogi vertical. You know, so library is one thing. Another thing, I don't know how to scream loudly enough about. I think we need a directory, and you know, for the last 5 years, I've heard this question brought up again and again and again, and I really needed it sometimes, and then I got frustrated and started talking about this again, but this somehow never happened. So I'm curious about how we could put it into the structure so that somebody, some unit would be responsible for this, and then things could start moving along.
Those are some great questions. I can tell you that that stuff is beyond my competency, and Vadim is going to give a lecture on organization or
management.
Yeah, management of human resources. And so maybe Vadim will answer that question a little better. It's a good idea. If you ever need somebody's name and number, I've got all the men, or most of the men, so let me know.
See, this becomes personal. Like, I need,
we're a family. Don't ever think that it's not okay to reach out to me.
Right, family can fight, and so we don't want to be reduced to the fighting stage. I hear from what you're saying that maybe after the lecture, I see that there is lack of kind of one person being responsible for that. And I could gladly undertake this, but the only thing I need is that all the information that you have cannot be collected by one person. I need to be part of some structure where you already have those.
Okay, I'll
share
my
list with you. And then I could be responsible for formatting and doing this technical work.
Okay.
Is that a deal?
Yeah, sounds great. We like people who volunteer.
I'd be very happy to have your help.
Okay.
Because I'd like to see it happen too, so that sounds great. John, your
lecture
is just such a success. We just solved a big problem. Maybe if you stand there for a few more minutes, we'll solve a few more big problems. Okay, if there's no other questions for John, then Jana.
Sisterhood at St. Vladimir's Church is named after St. Xenia. That's a St. Petersburg saint, a female. We have an icon of her, and she's a very powerful saint. And I've prayed a number of times specifically for the sisterhood work to her. And actually, today I was given a large icon of St. Xenia as a gift, so that was a timely blessing to me today. So what does the sisterhood do? I think for the last 3 or 4 years, I've reported at the annual meeting in quite good detail about the sisterhood work, what we do, and how we accomplish things, but I'll run over just a few things. So per Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia statutes for sisterhood in North America, there's several things that are included in the sisterhood duties, and we try to address pretty much all of those duties in the church. Maintenance of the church building, mainly for us it means cleaning. one of the sisters and her family are doing the cleaning, and they also help maintain the candle stands, but we also try to have at least a couple times a year the sisterhood cleaning, church cleaning parties. Caring for the vestry, we're not fully taking care of the vestments because we don't do the dry cleaning by hand and stuff. But there's some involvement in the vestments that the parish clergy have. We either try to provide the vestments or mend them, and we're always on the lookout for ladies who can help with those tasks of mending. If you know how to sew a button, we don't want to involve a professional here. A professional seamstress. So please volunteer and say, I can help with that. We always need help. Adornment of the church, inside and outside, gardens and indoor holiday beautification. We have a couple of sisters who are in charge of that, and the rest of the sisters pitch in as they can. Visitation of the sick. We have also a couple of sisters who are assigned to coordinate the parish-wide efforts to visit the sick and the shut-ins. We know that this is the priests. One of the main jobs for the priest is to visit outside of church services, parishioners and those who are in need of a pastoral visit. But besides a pastoral visit, anybody who is not able to go out very much appreciates the our reaching out or reaching in. Coming to those people. So we try to do that, and that for the most part involves our own parishioners, but sometimes we go out to other people who are not parishioners. Visitation of the dying and informing the priest of such cases and moral support for the families and the dying and care of them. Well, that kind of, we all do that, so I can't say that we specifically have something organized within the sisterhood, but we certainly, because we have a sisterhood, it kind of feels like we have a family of women, and we talk within the sisterhood, so if we know that one of our own is in such a situation, we certainly talk and try to provide moral support for each other. And we've had cases in the past, in the past few years, where our help in that role was instrumental. Concern for the unbaptized and the unwed, bringing them to the church, that the holy mysteries may be performed over them. Well, that also kind of goes without saying, that our personal attention to those who come to church and to all people we encounter in our daily lives, be it in stores, at work, impacts them. And so we have to set our own example, and I think that's the best ministry. Kindness and friendliness are our best bets. So that's also part of the sisterhood. We kind of try to keep that as a whole atmosphere. To aid with all means at the sisterhood's disposal, schools for children within the parish. We've talked about it at the last sisterhood meeting, that while the church school falls under the sisterhood duties, it's not solely sisterhood responsibility. So gentlemen, please keep in mind that children do need men involvement, and we welcome your help. There are three men who already teach and help at the church school, more are always welcome. So the sisterhood kind of takes responsibility for the children's activities within the parish, even if they're not necessarily church school related. collection of materials and funds in accordance with pledges distributed by the parish council for the needs of the church, for the sick, for poor and invalids. Well, the sisterhood has a financial aspect, more so than the brotherhood. We collect, we fundraise pretty much. We collect money for meals, for various sales that we hold throughout the year, bake sales and such. And they are, the main goal is to benefit the parish, the church. We were able, through sisterhood efforts and additional efforts from outside the sisterhood, we were able to pay off the mortgage on the addition to the church, which is right behind me. And right now, all the money that we're collecting on monthly meals, the large meals that we ask a bigger donation for, they all go towards the construction of the new church, which we're all eagerly awaiting. The other, there are other monies that we collect also. Sometimes we have a specific collection for a certain for a certain goal, and we would announce it most of the time. For instance, we last year there was a priest who visited who talked to us, to parishioners, about the need for a seminary in Guatemala, where people in heaps and thousands are being received into the Orthodox faith, and there's a huge shortage of priests. They desperately need a seminary, so the sisterhood council agreed that once a month we would send a one meals collection to help that. We didn't quite follow through with every month of that because we, I can't really tell you what the reasons were, but it just, we sent about maybe $500 at most. Which, of course, they were very, very thankful for. But those are specific collections that we hold, and we usually inform the parishioners. So that's the financial side. And the other responsibility is to help the church's starosta in acquiring and distributing religious and liturgical literature. So that, as far as I can tell, is more, sounds like more of the brotherhood thing that they're doing. Well, the sisters, because we have this framework of the sisterhood, and we feel, at least I think, that there is a feeling of that unity within the parish females, we share. We share literature, we share articles, we share ideas. Some of us might be closer friends with just a few people, some of us might be closer friends with other few people, but overall, the sharing does happen, and it's quite generous, and you know, I've been happy with that kind of framework and the sharing that we do. So speaking of challenges, we just had one. The sisterhood has that challenge. Many of us have children and families, and that can be a challenge. Well, in any case, I have. Well, actually, before I talk about challenges, let me talk about the rewarding moments. Where I want to say that with all the difficulties that might come up, it was all worth doing no matter what. It's the human touch that the sisterhood brings. When someone is in need and turns to us, the sisters, with hope and oftentimes with knowledge that we can help and we're able to provide that help. I can just name a few examples. A woman in a stressful divorce situation with a small child in need of monetary, spiritual, and moral help. We were able to provide that. a priest from a tiny and poor village in Russia works tirelessly to help the special needs teens and their families, comes to us just by, you know, God's providence again. And we're able to write a small donation check from the sisterhood. Later on, we find out his story of how incredibly touched he was by our unsolicited financial attention. He didn't ask for any money. He was just sharing. He was just here. And we gave him literally a small donation, what we could afford. And he was so encouraged and motivated by our also relentless and seemingly rewardless toil. So he is working hard in his place. He came here, he saw how hard the people work here, and you know, it was kind of a mutual encouragement. A person whose life turns around because when they came the first time to our parish and stayed for the meal, they met with and talked to our parishioners and fell in love with not only the faith itself, which they experienced during the service, but also with the people of the faith, which they got a chance to meet during the meal. Hearing that our small gift card, literally a very small $20-$25 worth gift card to one of our clergy members made them feel special, needed, and appreciated, not only in just our parish, but in our church. That was, the sisterhood provided that, and then we heard that feedback. Makes us feel that our efforts are worth it. Loving support that we provide for each other as mothers and Christians with spiritual struggles and family pains, sharing experiences in order to help each other. And that happens weekly, daily. That's worth all the struggles and challenges that we go through. And the challenges are, well, let's just say the physical coordination of people, the events, the timing, the menus, the information. When you're a head sister or when you're in the sisterhood council, and things need to happen, sometimes you have to leave your family, leave your own personal interests and issues, and attend to the task at hand right then and there, which turns out to be pretty much most of the time that you have to do that. So that's just the coordinating work. Personal disappointment, that's a challenge. If coordination is failing for whatever reason, People didn't respond. You send an email, you ask, you call, people either just ignore or they say, no, I can't, or I won't, whatever. Events aren't successful. We planned for an event, we held it, but some parts of it didn't go the way that they were intended or wanted we wanted them to happen. Timing is too tight. We know so many things have to happen and we have no control over that timing. Menus fell through. Quantity of a single dish was such that it was laughable. It was only for the first 10 people. So coordination is failing. And you do, as a head sister, you do feel disappointment. It's a personal feeling. But you must overcome it and continue optimistic outlook. And keep it up. You have to encourage yourself and others around you. Miscommunications. Miscommunications can lead to quarrels. They happen like in any family. They happen in the sisterhood as well. And keeping it civil and regaining peace can be a real challenge. We all know the devil does not want us doing the good deeds. So he's doing all that he can to help us build that Tower of Babylon. In other words, he's working against anything we try to do for the glory of God. And instead, he pushes us to misinterpret the words of another person, to put things in our mouths we didn't mean to say, to perceive the look we received from another person as an offensive one, to discuss someone behind their back and then let that someone actually overhear you. So cleanup of that miscommunication is most of the time pretty painful. It's also time-consuming, emotionally stressful, and requires a lot of diplomacy and patience from the head sister and the parties that are involved. We have to be realistic, and we have to say that it does happen, but that's why we are a family, and you know, like within any family, these things happen, but then you make up and you go on. You have no choice. At least in a Christian family, we don't talk about divorce. Or maybe we can talk about divorce, but it shouldn't really happen. So we don't get divorced in the sisterhood either. We make up and we go on. We ask for forgiveness and we go to confession and involve Father Gregory in all the joys of that part. Questions?
No, I got my first. You don't talk about divorce, but do you talk about murder?
Haven't had that happen yet.
Are you sure?
John.
What do you find most frustrating? Besides me.
You're not what you're who.
Okay, who do you find most frustrating? That's what I wanted to ask anyway.
Husband.
Probably most frustrating is...
the priest, probably.
Well, that's a good question.
It's too many frustrating things.
Most frustrating thing is probably my own feeling of helplessness. I should not, in any situation where I'm working with sisters, with timing, with anything, and things don't go the way I want them to, I get disappointed. I get frustrated with the situation. And I think that part, my own lack of trust in the Lord that He will make it all work in the end, is the most frustrating part to me. Is that I don't have enough faith. And I have to say that when I was pregnant and living in Kalamazoo and I became the head sister, I had no idea how much I would grow in faith. When I accepted the vote of the sisters for me to become a head sister. So I've grown in faith quite a bit because in all the situations that didn't go the way I wanted them to or planned them to or intended them to go, I had to just close my eyes and pray to God and trust that He will make it work. And He always did. Maybe it didn't work the way I wanted to, but it worked the way He intended it to work. And I needed to have that faith to leap into it and say, okay, fine, it will be the way it will be. And maybe that's even better than what I wanted it to be. So the most frustrating part is my own lack of faith.
Other questions for Jana? All right, well, both John and Jana, thank you very much.